All right, we're here with Bill. Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, I'm Bill Wagner. I'm a C# MVP. Mm-hmm. Some of the viewers may know me. I wrote Effective C# and More Effective C#. I'm here in town for the MVP Summit.
Yeah.
And happy to chat with you about the big thing we're doing now, which is Humanitarian Toolbox.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about this. How did this start?
So Humanitarian Toolbox, the big idea behind it is Matt Nunn, who is mm-hmm. one of the people in Visual Studios ecosystem, you know, does a lot of the marketing for that. And around the Visual Studio 2012 launch, he was working with Richard Campbell on the roadshow for that launch and was saying, you know, we want to do something based on software, based on the tools that we're creating to help something, do something really positive in the world. And what we came up with is the Humanitarian Toolbox, along with three other people, Tony Cerma, who's the CTO of Microsoft Disaster Relief, Mari Sessions, who works with Matt Nunn and does a lot of our marketing, organization, operations, and all that. And then I got involved as well, you know, wanting to just create software and do something that really makes a difference. And what we do is we create open source software to aid in humanitarian disaster relief efforts. So everything we do is volunteer software creation, you know, crowdsourcing with all the people that Richard and I know all around the community worldwide, to build applications that have been specifically requested by different NGOs around the world.
And what is an NGO for those?
Non-government organization. Mm-hmm. The big charities like the International Red Cross, Net Hope, which Gisli Olofsson helps us with a lot. And the other person who really helps us connect with those is Pascal Schubach, mm-hmm. who's from this area. He's the University of Washington Worldwide Crisis Coordinator. So he does a lot of work with organizations like FEMA, Americans Federal Emergency Management Association.
Yeah,
and helps us get requests for what would really help in a disaster organization. Because we're really great at building software, and what we need is to work with those people to say, these are the applications, these are the things that we need that would help us be more effective during these times.
And so tell us a little bit about what's in this toolbox. What are some of the tools that you've built so far?
Well, so it's very early right now. So there's two that we're working on right now that are farthest along, and we hope to have released and ready to go by the end of this year or early next year. One is called Crisis Check-In, which was originally suggested by Andres Verde, who's with the UN Disaster Relief Council. Mm-hmm. And now you think of a big disaster like something like the typhoons in the Philippines now.
Yeah.
And where Andres suggested this was after the earthquake in Haiti. You start getting volunteers coming in. And at the UN, there's a predefined set of clusters, which is an area of expertise. Like there's one for agriculture, there's one for the food supply, there's one for sanitation, there's one for just your basic protection.
Yeah.
Obviously one for medical, you know, one for infrastructure. For each one of these clusters, there's one person on site managing the assignments for all the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And that person is with a whiteboard or a clipboard, and you know, this is who's here, this is what skills they have, this is what we need to get done. And that works fine when there's just a few people that show up, you know, 20, 30, 50, something like that. Once you get to, you know, 2,000 Doctors Without Borders showing up, you know, now suddenly it's really hard to manage that, and you end up with a lot of these volunteers who are giving their time not being able to be in front of people that need help immediately.
Yeah.
So the Crisis Check-In app, the really simplified version is think Foursquare for disaster volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, I'm Larry, I'm an EMT, you know, I'll be in the Philippines starting on Tuesday, I'll be there till next Friday, you know, I've got emergency room training, you know, and that sort of thing.
Put all my achievements.
Put everything in there, boom. And then that cluster coordinator sees you in his list of volunteers that are there on site.
Yeah.
And it's filtered by day, you know, these are the people who are here today. And he can send messages to you on your phone, across the web, to say, here's where I need you, here's where, you know, where you need to be, the kinds of tasks that you'll do today. And then coming back the other way, you, if you're in the field, can suddenly go, wow, we found 20 more people here that we didn't know were here.
Yeah.
I need, you know, two more nurses, a medevac, whatever it is, and help with that coordination, right? So that's what that first app does. The second app that's really close to completion, which we got a lot of help from one of our partners, Telerik, provides a copy of DevCraft Complete for a lot of the volunteers that are working on our software. And Phil Jupiksi, who's one of the Telerik evangelists, is the project lead on this project. And what this app does is, you know, same scenario, you're a volunteer, you go out into the field maybe once or twice a year. So you may have forgotten how to use the satellite phone, you know, maybe you forgot how to use the field defibrillator or the hazmat suit you haven't worn in 9 months. How do I put this thing on again?
Yeah.
So before you get on the plane, you know, you power up this app, you know, click the things you need to remember how to do, and it downloads those videos. And when you get on the plane, you can watch those on the way there. When you get there, now you're refreshed, you're ready to go, you can hit the ground running, you know, and get in front of the people that need help faster.
Yeah.
And the third one, which is not as far along yet, is kind of an interesting app that we got a request from an organization called Humanity Road. And what they do is they manage a large group of volunteers that work off-site. Okay, so they're not at the disaster site, but they're grabbing information off the internet on, you know, think after a flood, you know, where is the high water? Where is it safe? How can you get from here to there? What routes are good? And what this application does is it sits in your browser, and it can be remotely fed with the links to the right curated information to help these volunteers in what they're doing. You know, so the people at Humanity Road, they will load this with, you know, here's FEMA's latest flood maps for these areas. You know, here's what we've learned from, you know, the paid media in this area, so that these other volunteers that are doing the remote work have the best information, not just the most popular information that comes back on a conventional web search. So that app is one that it's not quite as far along yet, but it's getting there.
Yeah.
You know, so those are the ones that we're concentrating on right now.
Great. And so it seems like one of the biggest challenges you'd have when you go into a disaster area is internet connectivity. How do you handle that kind of challenge there?
So there are several things that happen. One of them, once again, with the support from Microsoft and Microsoft Disaster Relief, you know, we get to turn on Azure resources, which can be thousands of miles away from the disaster zone.
Yeah.
So we've got data centers in places that are safe from whatever's going on that help power the apps. What happens in a disaster site, you know, obviously power and internet and these things affect all of these clusters, not just what we're doing. So large companies come in and help. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get things like AT&T and Verizon, you know, other carriers will drop in, you know, here's diesel generators and cell
they
towers.
Set up nodes of cell towers,
you know,
so
Cisco
at least you
does
have
that.
Mobility.
Right. And Cisco does that too. They'll come in, here's nodes and here's wireless routers.
Yeah.
You know, so we may have some connectivity. Mm-hmm. But that does have a big effect on what we're doing with our apps as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to make them sensitive to a place where, you know, the things we take for granted every day are pretty spotty. Right? You may not be able to charge your cell phone for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
So we're going to be very sensitive to battery life on the apps. You know, some of them are going to gracefully degrade to SMS because that's available in more places than you know, a true data connection might be.
Mm-hmm.
So we do some work that way to make sure that those apps actually are useful in the field.
That's great. Yeah. And where do people find these if they want to find out more about
this? So the way for people to find out is if they go to our website, which is htbox.org.
Okay.
And this is the big thing that we're trying to do next year. You know, in this past year, we proved that we can build these apps, we can work with the NGOs, get good requirements, and build the right software that they want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next year, we're working with the MVP community here, and we've had some great support from our MVP leads, like Esther Lee and some of the other people involved in the organization. And we are now we want to take requests that we have from different NGOs and go to any community leader and say, if you want to help, pick a project. If you're a developer and you want to help, look at the projects that we have that are already in flight, you know, grab an issue and fix it, send us some code. And there's two places they can go for that. Once again, on that website, htbox.org, at the bottom is a link to our GitHub page, where we've got a few of our applications are hosted there. So for people who are comfortable with Git, just go look at those, see what interests you, go ahead and send me a pull request.
Mm-hmm.
People who are more comfortable in TFS, we also have a hosted Visual Studio Online account.
Nice.
And yes, that team has also been very gracious to help us set that up, and that's all in place. The model for that is more for a team that's set up and you need to get access to it.
Yeah.
So if you send us an email, either through our website or just bill.wagner@htbox.org, I'll invite you to the wish list or to one of the applications that we're working on the TFS site, and we'd be happy to get contributions and happy to keep working that forward.
And what do you think will be next?
There's one of the big things that we want to try to cover is a combination of two different things. One is an area that's called disaster assessment. So one of the things that happens right after any kind of a natural disaster, the very first thing that goes on is let's assess exactly what's damaged, what things still work, where is their infrastructure, what's been hardest hit.
Like resource triage.
Right. And what happens with that right now is in every area there is a disaster coordinator who makes a map of this information. Well, if you think what happens now in most of the, whether it's the developed world or, you know, some of the emerging countries where there's a lot of mobile support, we've got a million pictures on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? So if we can, we're starting to look with some designs and working with the F-sharp community to go, can you guys analyze this data and help us build some of the map automatically, or at least curate it to the point where it's a quicker task, mm-hmm. you know, in between pictures on Twitter, pictures on Facebook, you know, paid media with, you know, Channel 7 with their $10,000 an hour helicopter flying over everything.
Yeah.
Can we use that information and software to build a map and get people in the field in the right place quicker? So that's one of the big things that we want to try to work with. The other one that an MVP named Shai Cohen, who many of you may know, is helping us architect, is a system that ties together a lot of the different relief organizations and a lot of the different things that are going on. You know, if you been watching the news with what's going on in the Philippines, you can see things like, you know, here's the Israeli army comes in to do some things with their MASH unit. You know, mm-hmm. you've got obviously the Red Cross comes in, you've got other international organizations coming in. So if we can build the kind of a business support unit, the software that would handle that kind of a large enterprise, you know, with the UN Disaster Relief Council and NetHope and FEMA and all these organizations to know who's doing what and coordinating. And if we can build some of that infrastructure for them, which is once again a much larger application, so we didn't want to bite that one off first.
Yeah.
But those are kind of the two of the big rocks. And then there are, right now we have 35 different small applications that we've got requests for that people say this would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And you know, for a small team, you know, if you've got a local user group and you know maybe you want to try your first mobile app, you know, pick one of those, mm-hmm. you know, connect with us and we'll try to find some people that can help you. You know, some of the other community leaders and speakers and bloggers have said, yeah, we'll help, I'll advise a project team. You know, which is great. You know, then your user group can get some people learning some new stuff, you get to test some new skills, and you get to do it on an app that is going to be have a really important impact in the world.
Well, this is great work. Keep in touch with us. Let us know
Fantastic,
what kinds of things. And
yeah.
is there a place to donate to your organization?
You know, right now we are in the process of going through the 501c3 designation.
Yeah.
So, which is in America, that's a registered charity with the IRS. We filed the paperwork for that, and now we're waiting for them to approve us.
It takes a while.
At the moment, yeah. there isn't, but hopefully by first quarter next year, we'll have the official approval from that. And once again, at our website, there'll be ways to be able to donate time, donate money, whatever works, you know, for an individual or an organization, and help support what we're doing.
Great. Thanks for talking to us today.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's been great fun.